Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Line of Vienna Suite podcast, episode 115. My name is Will Jones. Joining me tonight is Mr. Tom Jenkins. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Will. Lovely to speak to you. It's been far too long. You know I miss you.
And you. Well, yes, I've missed you too. Don't you believe it? And also joining us tonight is a man who needs absolutely no introduction. He's the man, the myth, the legend. He's who we all dream to have a team of. It's Nicky Hunt. Hello, Nicky.
Hello, guys. How are we?
Very good, thank you. It's absolutely great to have you on. We're obviously really glad you can join us. Looking forward to just doing some reminiscing with you, and hopefully you'll be able to share some great memories with us from your time at Bolton. Sort of the start of an admiral career, which continues to this day at the ripe age of 35. So we'll share the questions and the memories between myself and Tom for you to answer, as long as or as short as you like. And then if you have any for us as well, then feel free to, and we'll finish off some from the fans on Twitter as well. So I'll start by asking you about sort of how it all came about, really, and where life started for you at Bolton, Nicky, in terms of, you know, breaking into the first team and making your debut and from then on, really.
Yeah, I mean, it was all, you know, as a kid, I always wanted to play football from such a young age, and I got my little breakthrough. Believe it or not, I was at Man United for 4 years. I think I was 12 to 16.
Oh, wow.
And then I got scouted again when I was playing football for like school and stuff like that, and town teams and things like that. So I was 16, and then Martin Dobson gave me a call and he said, why don't you come down for a trial? So I came down at 16, signed 2 years. I can't remember what it was called, and I think it's the scholarships now and stuff like that, but I think it's an academy deal. And then I signed professional at 17, and then from what I can remember, it's a long, long time ago, 18 years ago this, but I think it's, Davey was at Sunderland at home, I think, and then, it wasn't. I came on for Colin Hendry and Sheffield United, and then Sheffield United again, that's what it was. And then my full debut was Sunderland at home, and then I played the away, we drew at home, and then I played the away leg, where we unfortunately got beat. But yeah, you know, it was a tremendous time for me, even being that young. I never actually dreamed of playing Premier League football. I never actually dreamed of breaking through, to be honest with you, because it was, you know, it's such a massive jump from playing reserve team football, you know, back then.
Of course.
And just breaking straight through into the first team, which I did in August 2003, was it?
Don't make us feel old.
Yeah, at the biggest stadium in the Premier League, which is Old Trafford. So, yeah, very memorable time for me.
Pretty incredible. It's obviously a great story to start off at Old Trafford, sort of where you began as well. I bet that was quite surreal as well.
Oh, mate, it was, you know, in front of 60. I think the capacity is not what it was now, but I think it was about 60-odd thousand. And, you know, even warming up, you know, before the game and arriving on the team bus before the game, seeing the fans outside, it was like a movie scene, to be honest. it was so surreal. It was a joke, really.
Sounds great. And obviously, you had eventually you had the small task of dealing with directly with the likes of Cristiano Ronaldo. I bet you have a few stories to tell us about your confrontings within him.
Oh, man, yeah, you know, but even before he came, he was making his debut, even before he came on the pitch, I think Ryan Giggs was out there, and then he swapped, and then, you can't actually describe to people what it was like, because you're lost for words at times, sort of thing. And as soon as, I think it was 1-0 when Ryan Giggs went off, and I think it was 70th minute, a young lad called Cristiano Ronaldo came on. He was about 18, I think he was 18 then.
Yeah.
Acne all over his face, blonde highlights in his hair. He comes out at 1-0 for 94 minutes.
And you're thinking, I'm going to snap him in half. <That's you. laughs>
Nicky, but Henrik Pedersen, when we had him on, said that there was a running joke between you and him about who had Cristiano Ronaldo more in his pocket out of you and him. if you'd like to counter back, I'm sure Henrik would like to hear your riposte on that.
Well, obviously it was me, because I think he set up 3 goals from the left hand side, so I think that's where Henrik was playing. So, you know, it's just one of them things. You know, you can't. All I can do is tackle him twice, put him on his backside, and then he switches wings, sets up 3 goals, and we lose 4-0.
Great stuff.
The facts speak themselves, let's put it that
way. Exactly, yeah.
I mean, there's not often the times where you come away from Old Trafford and be able to walk off laughing, but I bet there's a few times where you can just take pride in the fact that you've sat Ronaldo down a few times.
Well, I think a few of us looked at ourselves in there. A few of our debuts. It was Big Kevin Davies' debut that day. It was mine. I'm not sure. I think it was one other player's debut. It was. So we were just we weren't laughing, obviously, because we got beaten.
Yeah.
But you just know that there's a superstar in the making. You know, obviously it wasn't Henrik Pedersen. It was Cristiano Ronaldo. It's indescribable sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, that was the start of a great era, like you're saying, obviously sharing your debut with Kevin and all the rest of them, and obviously it was a great time under Sam Allardyce as well. But he had some great sort of times in the dressing room and stuff like that, and obviously we're sharing that with Sam Allardyce as well. What I've always wanted to know, you know, if I could ever be a fly on the wall in a Bottle Wanderers dressing room, I'd just love to know what Sam would say to you, you know, before the game, at half-time and afterwards, really. I mean, obviously, there's quite a bit of stuff which I'm sure you won't be able to repeat, but, you know, is there any that sort of stand out to you where you just ended up, like, trying to keep a straight face and just couldn't?
Well, obviously, you know, Sam had two sides to him. He had the nice side, and then he had the completely nasty side. And
yeah.
To be honest, that I was lucky in a way that I never really got to hear a lot of the nasty side to him.
Yeah.
I say nasty, it's how he is a manager. That's how he's so successful.
Yeah, of course.
Being a manager, because every player in the dressing room respects him, and they know they can have a laugh with him at certain times, but they know if you're not performing on the pitch, then he'll let you know.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I don't think that happens a lot enough these days with managers and players, because I think, you know, managers that, you know, have managed like for 20 odd years know how to get the best out of the players. I'm not saying managers now don't know how, but I just think that from that era, I think it's a different breed of, there's a different breed of, because it's more tactical now than it was back in our day, obviously. We played a lot of direct football. You lumped it. Well, we had the players to do that.
It was effective, I mean? Yeah.
Of course it was. So, and back to Sam Allardyce, obviously, I remember a couple of times at the Reebok when I think we went in a couple of goals down, and I think there was drinks containers thrown. I think clothes got dragged off pegs and stuff like that. That was over in like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I say it was quick, but you know, it's a long time, 2 minutes.
Yeah, of course.
Someone's ranting and raving and throwing things at you, but then he'll just calm himself down, let Phil Brown take centre stage again, and Sammy Lee, when he was there, he said he bits, and then he'd let the...
Yeah.
Do their stuff.
I was going to say,
talks and stuff like that.
Especially whilst you were at Old Trafford, I'm sure he let them take centre stage whilst he cleared off for his pint of wine with Sir Alex.
But, obviously, when we played Old Trafford, he never came on the bush, you see. So, you know, he always either got a car taking him back, or he came back with the assistant manager or whatsoever. So we never usually wait for him on away trips, which was we could shoot off quite early, really, which is always quite a good blessing, to be honest.
No, I bet.
It's interesting that you mentioned, Nicky, that Sam was sort of a pretty abrasive character in the dressing room, because a lot of the time nowadays, as you mentioned, you know, young players, especially like you were at the time, sort of get protected, and people you know, try and tread on eggshells around them rather than, you know, give them the hairdryer treatment. Do you think that was useful for you when you were a young player coming through, that you weren't treated like that?
Yeah, I think it makes you in more of a man, so to speak, because there's such young lads. Even there's some lads now playing at 16. I've seen a lad at Celtic come on at 16 years of age, and it was like, you know, how do you speak to a boy, essentially? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you're going to affect him. The way you speak to him now is going to affect him for the rest of his career. So, you know, there's certain type. That's why I think it's different now, where you've got to nurture him into football now. But when I played, it was, you know, do or die. You either did it or you weren't playing. Do you know what I mean? You followed the rules, or you didn't get a game.
Yeah,
that's how we learn all the way. That's how I've learned all the way through my career. And I'm sure that's how Henrik learned. I'm sure that's how anyone else you spoke to. We'll tell you that's how they followed the pattern of the career.
Yeah,
and that's how and the way they had the career that they had.
I was thinking about this just the other day, and obviously how sort of relatable Sam is to sort of the English lads and whatever. and obviously how sort of relatable and how easily you perhaps could deal with Sam. And I bet for some of the foreign lads that have come in and, you know, and played under him, you know, is that just as easy for him to shout at them as well? Or does it take a bit of nurturing, you know, to be able to get the best out of them without just shouting at them repeatedly in the most broad northern accent you could come out with?
Well, this is it, you know, and you've got people like Eman Camp in your dressing room who, when he first came, couldn't really speak a word of Queens. It doesn't really help because it's just words at him, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, to be fair, he would have probably laughed it off anyway because he was such a good character to have around the dressing room and stuff. But yeah, you know, you had JJ and
it's just
Joey Jorkheb and people like that.
Absolutely incredible set of players, weren't they? Do you keep in touch with any of them?
I do. Obviously, Kevin Davies and Kevin Nolan I keep in touch with. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, there's people like Gavin McCann I speak to and Henrik when I can get hold of him when he's not boozing away and he's in Silverborg. So it's
hopefully
you're
getting
three
pints off him, though, if you ever decided to visit,
Nicky. Yeah, I mean, he has asked me over a couple of times, to be fair, and he said, you can stay. But he never mentions anything about free booze, I'm pretty reluctant to go over there to.
No, but you're still in the prime of your career, let's not forget. So, you know, you can't be too heavy on it. So.
I've got another 25 years playing, I think.
Oh, of course you have.
I'll be fine, yeah.
You've got plenty left in you. But yeah, no, we're just saying about Sam, sort of generally, and obviously I think, I'm not sure whether it was the season after or the season after that even, that you left as well. But before that, you know, week in, week out at the training ground, you know, on the team coach, you know, you said he doesn't necessarily travel back with you on away games or what have you, but just sort of generally spending time with him, what's he like as a character to deal with?
He was first class, but he was first class especially with the young lads because, obviously, he was a young lad himself coming up in the game when he first started out, so he knew what had to be done and he knew, you know, we were all boot boys, we were all did balls, bibs and cones before training, you know, if the balls weren't pumped up, you know. He instilled the attitude in the players where they do everything for themselves and then they make their own way in the career. There's only them that can do it. Obviously, people can help them, but there's only them that can put the effort in. Mm. There's only them that can perform to the best of their ability every game that, you know, that they need to do so. Yeah. And he was really good at one-on-one. Individual talks as well, you know, he'd always bring you in the office to say if you've been doing well the past five or six games. But then again, on the flip side, he'd always bring you in the office to say, look, you're not performing nowhere near your ability in the last five or six games, which you needed to hear sometimes, because if he did leave you out, he'd always have a reason for you.
Yeah.
Where a lot of managers nowadays don't really give you, they don't give you a reason at all. It's just, you know, I don't like you. You're not in my plans. So
yeah, no,
they don't actually physically sit you down, and talk to you. You know, I feel sorry for Gary Cahill so much at the minute. I still speak to Gary quite a bit, and you know, what he's gone through at Chelsea in the past 6 months is a disgrace, to be honest.
I think it's a culture clash with Sarri, certainly. The way that Gary's been treated, obviously we're biased because of how brilliant he was when he was at Wanderers, and I'm sure as a bloke, you know, to be in the change room, you feel exactly the same way. But I think it's culturally, they don't understand the way that, you know, English clubs tend to deal with things, and, you know, obviously Sam being, you know, understanding that perfectly well, I'm not sure Sarri's necessarily on the same page.
I totally agree with you. You know, it's just a different culture, and it is a different way of obviously dealing with players, and that's how they, you know, the foreign manager at the minute deal with their players. And Gary's just unfortunately been the one that he's done it to. You know, that's football at the end of the day. It's a ruthless business. When you're doing well, you're doing well, but when you're doing not so well, it can feel as if the world's come crashing down. But I'm sure Gary will bounce back, and I'm sure he'll get his move this summer. I'm not sure where he's going.
If he wants to come to Bolton Wanderers, we'd have him back.
Yeah, no, it's great because, like you said about those pep talks, I bet those sort of chats are absolutely priceless, aren't they, really? And, you know, having someone who can generally sit you down and just be absolutely straightforward with you, because there's nothing worse than, you know, having a mixed signal from a manager or just being left out for no apparent reason. You know, at least Sam would tell you why. And it sounded like, you know, earlier in his career, I've read his autobiography a few times, you know, and that's how he was sort of brought up, you know, put the cones out and clean people's boots beforehand and stuff like that. And it's great that he sort of kept that up during his time at Bolton as well, and that he treat everyone with respect and stuff like that. So Yeah, it's great to hear that that sort of followed suit as well, and you know, and there was no fallings out. I mean, you might correct me there. I don't think you have a good relationship with Sam generally.
I did generally. Obviously, there was the odd falling out here and there, but you know, that's part and parcel of, you know, me not playing or me not performing to the standards that I'd set myself, or the performance that he wanted me to be at, mm-hmm. to be in the team. You know what I mean? So it was. There was always competition for places, which was good as well. Yeah. You know, especially in my position, there was like Joey came through, and it was me and Anthony Barnes at the start, and then, you know, and then Joey came through, and then obviously in the latter stages when Greta came, you know, it was all good competition. But ultimately, you want to be playing football week in and week out, and Sam was the best manager for me to, and you could go and ask him anything. You know, his door was always open. When he was in, I think he was only in Thursday, Friday, Saturday though, so it's a bit hard to get in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So it was great for me, really, really great.
Yeah, it sounds like you had a great relationship with him, and I sort of guess that's why things sort of came to not an abrupt end, but sort of perhaps naturally. You know, when the management changed, Gary Megson came in. You know, you didn't get as much game time and whatever. How did that sort of departure come about? I can't remember exactly off the top of my head whether it was, you know, mid-season, post-season. Perhaps you could tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, I mean, it was quite strange for me. I'd just signed a new deal under Sammy Lee, and then Sammy Lee unfortunately got the sack. So, and then Megson took over. I think I played the first four or five games under Megson, and he came to an agreement where I wasn't the player that he wanted to play in that position. So obviously he signed somebody else, and then it was just. But I had another 3 years left on my deal, and I was like,
yeah,
you know, do you stick it out for just them 3 years? And but what was weird for me was I wasn't playing the Premier League, but I was playing every European game.
Yeah. So that was a bit weird setup.
It was, because we were playing like one Thursday every month or whatever it was in the group stages, and then you go like we qualified, and then it was like we had a Thursday night game in February, another one in end of Feb, and then March, and then we were getting closer and closer, and I think we got to the quarters. Was it the quarters against Sporting Lisbon over two legs?
Yeah,
and I'd still not played a Premier League game, so I had to keep myself mentally and physically fit, you know, and that was one of the hardest times of my career, really.
Yeah,
because you know I was on the bench quite a bit, but not coming on and playing every. It was so weird.
Yeah,
that it was, you know, but that's just. I just thought, you know, I'll do it for myself. I'll do it for, you know, everyone who's believed in me, basically, that I won't let this affect me. And I hope it didn't in the matches and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm just sort of going through your career, and by the looks of it, so after that you then got sent out on loan to Birmingham, if I'm right in saying.
Yes, I did. And Derby.
Yeah, of course, yeah, because it says here that you were recalled under a contract clause, and then for no reason, but by the looks of it.
I'll tell you the story about that. I got recalled on a day, on a Thursday, before we played Arsenal at the Emirates.
Yeah.
Because I think Greta was suspended, so right. They wanted me to come back and play.
Yeah.
So I thought, right, you know, I've got half a chance to come back here. So I trained on the Thursday, and about 20 minutes into the training session, I pulled my thigh.
Oh, no.
So I was like, we just thought it was a bit of fatigue.
Yeah.
The next day I couldn't really walk on it, so it was a bit of a. So I had to stay there for like 4 weeks back at Bolton, and then Birmingham came in because they were going to get in the Premier League. They came back in, I think, in March,
right,
or early April to get me back for another month. But from what I gather, I don't know why, for whatever reason, but I don't think Gary Megson let me go back out. Don't ask me why, because I spoke to Alex McLeish a couple of times, and he was like, Bolton are not actually letting me go. And I was like, I don't know why, because I'm not playing bench every week and stuff. So that was another tough time, because I was enjoying it a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I know you'll be in no position to sort of give an uncensored version of that, but I'm sure, Tom, you'll be more than happy to sort of relate to why Gary Megson was perhaps not is it on his best form there, and, you know, obviously why he also fell out of favour with the fans. Absolutely, massively, and yeah, everybody else loves Nicky. It's quite strange, that, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, well, Well, there we go. I'm sure Gary gets sleepless nights over that. But what I wanted to ask you, Nicky, about that situation is more, obviously you mentioned, you know, competition with places where you had Anthony Barnes and Joey O'Brien, etc. Given that most of the time you were coming out on top in, you know, getting your place ahead of those players,
yeah.
When Greta was brought in, because, you know, as you mentioned, perhaps your face didn't fit under Gary Megson for whatever reason, was there any animosity between you and Greta, or did you, you know, enjoy training with each other, like, you know, goalkeepers training with each other, something like that?
Yeah, you know, I don't think we ever had a player where no one got on with each other. Do you know what I mean? No manager who I played under never brought a bad egg into the club, really. Obviously, you know, when you see someone playing your position, it's always hard because, you know, you want to be out there playing and stuff like that. But there's never any, you know, animosity between us or anyone in the team for that matter, really. And I'll be honest with you, if there was, I would tell you, but I wouldn't go into great detail.
No, I'm sure.
There actually wasn't, you know, it because of the people that the club brought in, they must have done a lot of good background checks on them. Because there's no bad eggs, really. So it was a good squad. We had a good squad, and we didn't deserve to finish where we finished, to be honest.
Oh, definitely not. I mean, I remember that season very vividly because it, you know, as a young fan, having grown up and watching, you know, the likes of Akoche, Riero, Campo, Diouf, and Elka, etc., and yourself, of course, you know, in defence that, let's be honest, was almost impregnable at times under Allardyce with, you know, Ngoti, Djaidi, etc.
Yeah,
it was a real shock to see us in that position that season where we suddenly started struggling. Do you think it was the European aspect that, you know, caused that? The extra workload, you know what I mean?
Yeah, to be honest, I don't think it was, because if you look at the team we put out every European game, there was probably about the team that Gary Megson picked every European game, about only about two or three or four max started the Premier League game on the Sunday. So he was resting a lot of his, you know, better players, should I put, to play in the Premier League game. But it wasn't happening, so, sort of thing. So I think he only started playing the Sporting Lisbon away was the strongest team he'd picked in Europe that season. If you look at the squads and stuff like that, maybe a couple at home, maybe that we had strong squads, but I think the Sporting Lisbon away, where we, to be honest, we thought we should have won, really, but it wasn't to be that night. But as far as the workload goes, I think he was intentionally resting his players that he wanted to play on Sunday for them to be fresh for the games, to be honest.
Yeah, no, of course. It sounds like you still got a relatively good run in the team and everything. It's great that there was still, you know, the character amongst the squad and everything, and that there was no fallouts and what have you. But, you know, it's great, and obviously because of that, you're still a big hit with the fans and everything, and they still even chant your name to this day, believe it or not.
Yeah, do they, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of mates that still go.
Yeah, I mean, by the sounds of the Twitter responses, it's the most we've ever had, I think. And obviously, you had a great relationship with them. Are there any particular, you know, away days or home games afterwards, even, you know, that it stuck out to you where, you know, you had a moment with the fans or anything like that, or anything that stands out to you at all, really?
Or during when I played for them?
Yeah.
Right. Well, there's a couple, to be fair. We played Wolves away, I think, at Molineux, and we won 1-0, and Kevin Davies scored. And there was stewards after the end of the game. There were stewards holding us back trying to get through, but I think about six or seven of us just got through and just, like, was high-fiving fans and things like that. And it was, they were the times you cherished, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where you have got that rapport with the fans, that they can see you working hard and getting the result you deserve and things like that. And it obviously, it was great. And, you know, the other one obviously sticks out was my goal at the Reebok.
A hell of a goal it was too, might I?
Well, yeah, three Gerrard legs under Pepe Reina. I mean, what more do you want, really? Yeah, but, you know, and then going celebrating with the fans, and then Henrik coming over, Kev coming over, Yuri coming over, you know. Yeah.
I bet the goal celebrations are just, there's no better feeling, is there, really, you know, when all the fans are clambering over each other and you're just there in front of them. It's absolutely priceless, those moments.
Yeah,
isn't it?
You see him fist pumping, shouting, yeah. Seeing it is, and, you know, it's like the football factory. You get that buzz, you know what I mean?
It's great because you compare it to today's football, you know, and you see players celebrating and they sort of just give a high five and that's sort of it. Whereas, you know, back in those days, it was just, you'd just give your absolute all into celebrations. That are, like, you just go mental for 30 seconds.
Oh, of course you would, yeah. You're jumping on each other, you know, smacking heads on each other incidentally and stuff, because you're running at each other that fast and stuff like that. It was a really good time to be there.
You mentioned that Liverpool goal as well. I mean, I'll let you relive that to the longest extent possible, because it was obviously one of very few goals and whatever. I mean, talk us through it and sort of, because a couple of people we spoke to have said, you know, that the favourite goals or whatever have just been a blur. And it's like, do you want to tell us about that?
I don't have that problem. I remember them to the second that they happened, though.
Yeah.
I think the ball's got a launch forward from Bruno and Gotti, I think. And then it's got out wide a touch, got flicked into the box. I think Kevin Davis, I spoke to Kevin Davis after the game, he said, that was another assist for me. I said, it's the worst touch I've ever seen, straight back to my path, and I put it in the bottom corner. So he was like, yeah, it'll go down as my assist. There's another notch on my assist. So I was like, right, well, you can have that one, I suppose. Yeah, so he dropped to me, and I just thought, I'm going to hit this.
Yeah.
Whether it goes in Rose head or in, I'm just going to hit it. So I did, and luckily for me, it flew in the bottom corner.
Oh yeah, great stuff. I mean, I got it was just absolutely euphoria. But I mean, do you reckon that was your fondest memory from your time at the club, or is there anything else particularly that you know you take away from it and go, yeah, that was great?
Obviously, you know, there's the cup final, but
yeah,
that's just a memorable day all round. You know, obviously the result didn't go our way. It was just.
We were robbed, but
look who was refereeing again, do you know what I mean?
we wonder why there's so many bad decisions in the Premier League nowadays.
Exactly, they put one of the worst referees in the Premier League as the top dog for Premier League referees, so it is what it is, but it, you know, when we had Mike Riley refereeing, it was the same old story, really.
Yeah. I don't get me wrong, I'm very pleased that you remember the day fondly, because I bloody don't.
We went up about 4 days before and trained near Cardiff somewhere. I don't know if it's Cardiff City's training ground, actually. We trained that for a couple of days, and you know, we did it all properly, and we did everything right other than get the result, which was a shame. But you know, we got the runners-up medal to cherish and things like that, and the memories and other Kevin Davis 400-yard strike. I think Swartz is in the goal. He went down and unfortunately his arm went in. But you know, the memories will last a lifetime. And obviously the players that I played with will do too.
It's great. Just looking through your stats here again. 2004-2005 season, you were called up to the England under-21 squad. Do you remember how that came about?
I think we're on because it was in international break.
Yeah.
So I think we was away somewhere. The lads that Adam been picked to be international, and I think we was doing a training session in the sun, and I think the physio came up to me, Mark Taylor, and said, "You better go and pack your bags." I said, "Why? What do you mean?" He said, "Well, you're going home." I said, "Wow, what have I done?"
Everything starts running through your head, wondering what you did the night before.
Yeah, trying to recollect what I've done. And he's like, "Oh no, it's nothing like that." He said, "You've been called up to England under-21. I said, "Oh right, okay, right. What do I do then?" And he was like, "Well, just go home and you'll get met by someone and they'll take you from there." So that's what happened. And we played Holland, and we played 45 minutes.
That's great.
Against Holland, and yeah, I think we drew. I think it was 2-2. I think I can't remember what the score was.
Nine apps, it says you got. So you had a bit of a run there as well. So it's great. I never knew about that, actually. Completely forgot. But so obviously since your time at Bolton, you obviously went to Birmingham on loan, Derby on loan, a couple of games at Bristol over the 2 years, and then Preston for a while. As well, that was 17 game, and you got a goal there as well.
There's my second one. Another 25-yard strike as well, but that was on my right foot this time, so
it's the best way to do it. Exactly.
Yes, he does, straight off the corner, someone headed it out, straight to me on the edge of the box, Ryan put it in the bottom corner.
Exactly.
Nobody on YouTube somewhere. So I might have a look. I might have a look after this.
Nobody remembers if you score 100 tap-ins. It's better off if you score a couple of 25 yards.
Yeah, you have to score screamers. That's what you got to do.
Of course you do.
That's why I was surprised that Henrik seemed to be blurry about all of his goals, because I remember most of them. There weren't that many to recall.
It was only about 8, weren't he? I remember about 7.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, like I say, it's just such a brilliant time to reminisce about. You know, you talk. I mean, the thing is, from your perspective, you remember that goal that you scored against Liverpool. Henrik saying that a few of his goals were blurs. I remember every single one, because I tell you now, after only seeing what is it, about 20 this season, you need to cherish the ones that have happened.
Yeah, of course you do.
I'll go back to the current day at Bolton in a second, but just going onto your next move is Accrington Stanley. So Accrington are actually my local in terms of where I live, and I've been to watch them a couple of times when you were playing, and I was actually there the day you got knocked out. Do you remember? Silly question saying, do you remember that? But I bet that was a bit of a weird one, because I think it was only about your second or third game, something like that, against Plymouth.
Was that Plymouth?
I mean, that was just.
it was. I think I don't know actually. Because I blacked out about 10 minutes.
It was
scary, really. When I woke up, I was in hospital, and I was like, what's going on here? Like, you know, and I went for CT scans and x-rays and things like that. I had drips coming out of me, I had wires around me. I was like, didn't know what was going on. It was quite scary, to be honest.
Yeah, but from just going up for a challenge or whatever. Bit of a weird one, that. But then, obviously, Leighton Orient as well, Mansfield just before that, briefly. Then I think the one that everyone sort of relates to you now, at Notts County as well, you had a bit of a spell there. Were you with Shola then as well? Shola Amiobi?
Yeah, big Shola.
It was great.
You forgot about my goal at Leighton Orient. Do you not want me to
Yeah, there's a goal there. Yeah, go on then. Sorry.
another left foot screamer.
Of course. Right
on the halfway line, picked the ball up, ran past about 16 men. put it in the bottom corner again, off the post.
It's the only way to do it. It's great.
Fancy playing up front for us next season?
Please.
Yeah, give me the number 9 shirt, I'll have a go.
Great stuff. Yeah, Notts County. I was playing with Scholler, and he'd said a couple of years ago when he'd come to us briefly, and he said that he'd come back and play for us for free. He just seemed like a great guy, really. I mean, I don't know.
He's such a nice guy. Yeah.
Were you under Kev Nolan there?
Yes. Yeah. He signed me, and then he obviously signed Scholler and signed me, and because he knew
getting the band back together.
it was great, to be fair, because he. Shaw's a great guy, you know. I think he's doing Sky punditry now, isn't he?
I think so. Yeah, I've seen him a couple of times on there. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a great guy. To be fair, good to have around the dressing room. You know, always trying to encourage. You know, we had quite a few young lads as well at Notts County, so he was all trying to encourage them to do the best and try and help them with his experience and stuff. Yeah. But yeah, he's a good asset to have, sure, actually.
I bet that was great working with Nolan again, though. Like getting a call from him saying, "Come and play for us again, and we'll get everyone back together, and we'll play League 2."
Yeah, I mean, well, I was opening the changing room door and seeing like Fernando Hierro there, you know, Campos with a big wig on. You know what I mean? That was a changing room I was expecting, and then, but no, he signed quite a few experienced lads and. And we did him proud, to be fair. We got in the playoffs in his first season as manager.
Yeah.
He was so unlucky to be.
Oh, I remember that. They got robbed, didn't they? Yeah.
I keep on saying it, but you were absolutely robbed against Coventry.
That was horrendous.
Yes. Oh, no, yeah.
Some of the penalty decisions that I remember, I can't remember the names. Is it Dan something who gave away a penalty in the first?
Oh, Dan Jones.
Yeah, absolutely ridiculous decisions. Yes, it was. It's one of those.
Yeah.
But I was going to ask about Kev, when you talk about him being the manager. In terms of obviously cutting his managerial teeth at County, he's not had a job since he lost his job there. It might be relatively unfairly. If he were to take up another job, do you think he could manage at a higher level, particularly League One in a club in the North West called Bolton Wanderers?
I think he could. I think he could without a doubt. I mean, he's got all the attributes to do it. He's got all the, you know, the background knowledge and the in-depth football knowledge to do it. And he's got the backroom staff that I know that he'd probably take with him. That are very experienced as well. So I think he's, you know, he'd love the job. Do you know what I mean? But I think at the minute he's got to find the right job for him. He wants to get back into football as quick as he can, and And maybe this summer is the summer that he'll do that. So I hope he does.
So I was just going to say, if you got another call off him and he's right, I'm off to Bolton, you come in. What's your answer?
Well, maybe I'll have to take a player coach role. I don't know how many he'll take 45 games. But, obviously I'd love to get back there in some capacity. I know you've got a lot of ex-players in the backroom staff, you know, Jimmy Phillips, David Lee, Julian Darby and Gav McCann, obviously, and you know,
it's not changed, Dickie. It's all the same lot.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the only bit I think left at the club now. You know, I'm really sad about it, but that's the only bit that is, you know, keeping it all together at the youth level. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is keeping the lads that have been there for years. And keeping them and nurturing the kids to come through.
Yeah, well, I was just going to mention about that. So, what's your take on the current situation at the club?
It's hard to believe, obviously, but with what they've been going through from, I think it's from the past four years, really. I think I think the manager now did a great job in keeping them up last season.
Yeah.
And he's just been dealt blow by blow this season, and it showed, you know. But credit to the players, credit to the staff that. You know, when it's very difficult when you don't get paid, no matter what you do. I just think they should be proud of themselves that they've kept playing and kept training and kept doing the job when all adversities were against them, sort of thing.
Yeah, good stuff. Right, we're only about halfway through something like that, and I'd usually carry on with some questions, but looking at the Twitter, I think we're going to have to dedicate the second half all to it, really. It's literally the most...
Can I get my question?
Yep, Tom, I was literally just going to come to you first. Fire away.
Thank you. So my question is just... it's more of a bit of a compliment first, followed by a question, so you'll be very pleased to hear that. honestly, like, we have had a fair few like really, really good crossers at the club, you know, like Matty Taylor, Juf, even Okocha to an extent.
Petrol.
You are genuinely one of the best crossers that I've seen us have at the club. I was wondering if you remember one of the... I remember one for Juf to score a header against Newcastle in like 2005. That is one of the best crosses that I remember. And then also another one where a Lokomotiv Plovdiv game where they had a player down... And we played on goals from what you're playing for the
Duke. Oh, yeah.
I'm wondering if, you know, those are two memories I really, really pick out from you playing for us. I wonder if you had a similar one from, you know, that similar kind of thing from a cross or, you know, an assist that you picked out that you really enjoyed doing.
Obviously them two are up there. And then I think there's a left footed one that I did to Gary Speed. I think that was at home. I'm not sure who we were playing against. And I think we might have been playing against Leicester or Newcastle. I'm not sure. And that was just like a half volley. I just looped back in and he went overall and he was just there and he just pounced on it. I think it was his header. It might have been a right foot volley that he just put in the bottom corner. And then there was the one at home to Portsmouth. We only won 1-0. It wasn't a great cross or anything. But it was just the move that happened before it. Where it was like, it was rough. It was, you know, ball after ball after ball after ball. And then I just slid in and I've played it across and Kev Davis had just got his big size 25 feet on it and just poked it in and it was a good feeling because we won the game that we needed to win and after it we all went out for a few beers and stuff and it was a nice way to end the game really.
Great stuff. We'll come to the one that was actually most popular. It's from James, who's also a writer at Line of Vienna. I think everyone wants to ask you this actually. Do you dream of a team of Nicky Hunt as well?
Yeah, I sleep with them all every night. I sleep with them all 11 of them. I've got them all.
And the bench.
Nicky Hunt is inside me. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. I've got them all.
Great stuff. A similar one to that from Bill, well, at Bill BWFC. He says, at which of his 10 positions did he like playing the most?
I love being in the opposition half. Obviously I like defending and stuff, but it was wicked attacking and getting in the opposition half and whipping balls in to hopefully get one of our lads on the end of. So I like play. I call it right wing back. So I just love bumming on and stuff like that. So it was good.
Good stuff. We've got a rather conspiracy theory one here from Jamie, who's also at Line of Vienna. He's gone, is it any coincidence that it all went so wrong after you left?
What, for me or for Bolton?
Well, for Bolton.
Obviously for Bolton.
Look, there was a lot of, I think there was a lot of things wrong behind the scenes before we left, before Big Sam left and stuff like that. I think, you know, it was, I'm not going to say it was a sinking ship, but it weren't the, you know, the train that we was on, so to speak, when they were there. I people stop me in the street and stuff or in the supermarket and, you know, we have chats for 5 minutes and stuff saying what do I think's, you know, gone wrong and stuff like, where did it go wrong? And we all come to the same thing as, you know, when Big Sam did leave, it did shoot a massive hole in everyone's foot, really, sort of thing. So yeah, you know, I can totally relate to that, and that's how I feel as well, to be honest.
So can we blame you?
Just blame me.
Great. Got one from Damon Hesford, who says, "Does he feel? How do you feel about being ignored in the GOAT debate between Messi and Ronaldo? And do you believe it's an argument of second place, or is this just another example of anti-Nicky Hunt bias in the media?"
Well, there's a lot of that going on. Anti-Nicky Hunt bias. So, but I, to be brutally honest, I think I'm in a completely different league to them two. I think I'm in a higher league than them anyway.
Oh, of course,
so
you are.
Like, you know, you've just got to, you know, let them battle it out for the greatest of all time, and I'll just be the super greatest of all time instead. So I'll always be one step ahead of them.
Well, at the end of the day, I've never seen them make a two-footed challenge to nail the other. So.
Well, exactly, yeah.
One from Tom Bridge. He's genuinely asking, please, please, can you play right back for us next season?
Well, I'll leave my phone on, see if the gaffer wants to ring me and see what he wants to do, see what other options he's got for their next season.
Good stuff, Phil, if you're listening. Yep, there you go. Rob Higson says, does he still drink in Cafe Stella in Lee? And as said, a couple of the lads tagged a couple of them saying it's a really good night, and then all the chants about him as well.
Oh, is it still going, that?
I think so, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's a very, very long time ago, that. It used to be a good place to go out and have a drink after the game and stuff. But I've not been for many, many years, so I wouldn't know if it's still the good place to go. But yeah, I've had some good nights in there.
Got another establishment related one. Do you miss the old Wheat Thief?
Oh yes, yeah, shadow of a doubt. Yeah. What a boozer that is, yeah. I don't even know why it got shut down.
No.
So it's just, yeah, I think the whole of West Dorton missed the week sheet.
Dean Roberts says, does he want to go to Spoons in Alfred on Wednesday night for a mixed grill?
Unfortunately, I think I'm away, so I'm going to have to pass on that one, but... Maybe another time.
Yeah, good stuff. Gaz has said, does he still collect cars? I didn't know that. Is that a thing?
No, not anymore.
Go on, run us through a couple of the classics.
Well, yeah, which is a shame. So there's no money in them anymore. So I've stopped doing that. So I stopped doing that years ago.
Go on, run us through a couple of the classics. What did you have?
I've had Mercedes, BMWs and stuff like that. I've had a lot of fast cars and stuff like that. But not anymore.
Chris Smith says, what's his record for push-ups on a pub floor?
For push-ups on what, sorry?
On a pub floor.
Probably about four. I've had two operations on my shoulder, so after the fourth one, I'll just collapse probably on the floor and just end up sitting down having a pint. So it's probably about four.
Good stuff. I think people will be absolutely loving these. Paul Thorne says, does he still DJ? Yeah, how many professions do you have?
I've still got all the.
If you can play all 11 positions on the pitch, you can bloody DJ.
Exactly. Yeah. I've still got all the stuff, but I've not done it for a while, for years, in fact. So maybe if anyone wants to, you know, a club owner wants to give me a call, maybe I can do an evening or a night. That's not a problem at all.
Good stuff. We've got another one here. I know we mentioned Ronaldo earlier, but he says, who was the best player you came up against in your career?
I get asked this quite often, to be honest, and people are not surprised what I say, but when I tell them why, they half understand. There's two of them, really. There's Thierry Henry and Ryan Giggs. And they always say, well, you played against Ronaldo, and you know, and I was like, yeah, but when I played against Ronaldo, you know, obviously he's one of the greatest players of all time, you know, don't get me wrong, but he's only young, and he had a lot to learn. But I was playing against Thierry Henry in his prime, Ryan Giggs in his prime, and they just had, like, you know, they could stop the ball and then just set off running. I could have 5 or 6 yards on them, and they'd still get by me. And that was why I think that they were ahead of him at that time. When I was playing, that's the only reason.
So I was going to say, at the time you were playing him, they were obviously substantially better players than him. So I take your point on that, and they're obviously two incredible players. So
yeah, of course.
So Sean says, besides perhaps Yossi in goal as an exception, which former Wanderers teammate would you like to have an entire team of?
Yossi.
Yeah.
Probably Campos, to be honest, so we can all look like Campo wigs on.
To be fair to Campo, he could finish. I'll give him that.
I can strike a ball, don't get me wrong about that. Well, I'd have two Campos playing up front for me, no problem.
Yeah, so bring 11, all 11 of him back. Yeah, we'd like that. See if you can tell who this one was. Ask him who the best masseuse is that he's ever had.
Right.
Have a think before you answer this.
Obviously, it's male. Obviously.
Yeah. yeah, careful.
Let me think.
Should we preface that by saying at the club, not in general?
That's all I've had at the club, you see. I'm going to say Harry Brook.
Ooh, he's not going to like you on that one.
Oh, no.
It's Jonathan Barber.
Johnny Barber. He can't say that.
He is. Oh no!
So awkward.
Never mind, Johnny lad.
Is that another editing job there, Tom? Yeah. Should we just pretend you said Johnny Barber?
Yeah, I said Johnny. It's a close call, really, between Harry and Johnny.
Yeah, good stuff. Somebody's asking you to do the champ.
Which champ? My champ.
Yeah. Go on.
I've got to go all the way. Nah, I'm not.
I can't
go all the way through. No, sorry, I can't go all the way through. But we do all dream of him. That's all I'm going to say.
What was it like being better than Cafu for a season? Says Leo. I'm not sure which season it's related to. It should just mean all of them.
Cafu, so I've got to be very careful what I say about him. It was. It was great. We'll just say it was great.
I think what you're gauging from this, Nicky, is there is a hell of a lot of love for you.
Everybody loves you.
Yeah, which is obviously greatly appreciated, because I love playing for the fans, and I love playing for the club. You know, it was all I ever wanted to do, and it was you know, it ended up being a lot more than what I expected. So I've got a lot of respect and things back for the fans and for the club that gave me a chance, really.
Declan Cahill asks, can you buy the club?
Yes. If you can find me £100 million, I'll definitely buy the club.
You need more than that, mate.
I want to ask then again as well. I know we've probably got more, you know, daft questions on Twitter, but my mates who are Crew fans would not forgive me if I didn't ask something Crew related. I believe you've signed a year extension, have you not?
Yes, I have.
But what do you reckon to their prospects next season? I know they've got a few decent young players coming through, and I think Chris Porter's hanging around up front, isn't he? But, you know, like I say, they wouldn't forgive me unless I asked you know what their chances were next year.
I think it'd be quite good, to be honest. I think we need a good start. I think we need to base everything on a good start. If we get first 10 games, if we get some good results and stuff like that, and we obviously need to hold on to our young players. At least for this season, because we have got a good bunch there, and I know a lot of teams are sniffing about them and want to maybe take them, but I genuinely do think that if we finish off the way we did, especially at home last season, then we've got nothing to worry about. And I think playoffs are a real possibility next year.
Have you been playing mainly centre-half or right-back?
Yeah, I played a few right-back, but mainly centre-half, yeah, which is, to be honest, I
really
enjoy playing there. Yeah. All on the back four I play, so it's...
You play everywhere.
I do, yeah.
It's fine. Did you play with Yossi's son, Will?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, but how was that when playing with two... That was weird, that, yeah.
Yeah, it was Will who actually said to me before the game, he said, "Oi, this is mad. This is really mad, but will you play with two generations of Jaska Lions?" And I was like, wow.
just in case you couldn't...
I felt for Will because I know he had a really good debut, but then obviously made a mistake. Was it a few weeks later or something, dropped the ball in at a corner. He looks like a real prospect, despite the fact he doesn't look necessarily tall enough.
No, he's extremely good, you know. But he's only gonna benefit from being under the guidance of Fred Barber, who's obviously the ex-Bolton goalkeeping coach as well. So
absolutely,
he's gonna have a good career. He's having a good career. He will have a good career. Well, I'm sure.
Good stuff. Well, we've run out of silly Twitter questions because I've decided that they're all not for Aaron. I've got one myself, which is the last one. I meant to ask you that you're on. Who was your favourite, or well, best mate or favourite teammate at Bolton?
God, I think obviously Kevin Nolan. I used to room with Kevin Nolan, and you know, I've spoken to him throughout my career. But you know, there's Kevin Davis as well. They're probably the two that I do, you know, speak to most and have most in common, and would want to do things in the future, football wise with them, you know, or you know whatever pops up and stuff like that. So. I think it'd be them two, you know. But I still keep in touch with Gary Cahill, who got on with really well when he was there. But I was only there for a couple of years, with him. Yeah. 2 or 3 years, I think.
I was going to say,
but yeah.
Yeah, no, I for some reason I did guess it'd be Nolan, because I know you've obviously had a few stints with him, obviously at Notts County and what have you. But
yes,
you seem quite close on the pitch as well. So
obviously we roomed together for about six years, and you know they were good times. You know, we see each other off the pitch. You know, I know his family really well. He knows mine really well. They're just good genuine guys.
Yeah.
who will do a lot in football, I'm sure.
Yeah, good stuff. I have one last one that I tend to ask quite a lot of the ex-players. I need to stop doing this because it's not really relevant to the season now because they're all terrible, but. Is there anyone that you sort of like yourself to from the modern day Wanderers team?
Sorry, say that again.
Is there anyone that you're liking yourself to in the modern day Wanderers team? I don't know if you know many, but at the minute,
I've been watching a few games, to be honest. I liked the right back. What was he called?
Olkowski.
Yes. I like him. I like. He's attacking football. He's positive, and you know, what I just thought Bolton lacked this year is obviously a goal scorer, someone who could, you know, obviously finish in the box. Like they needed a number nine who was a poacher. That's what they needed this year.
It's what we bloody needed.
Yeah. I totally agree with you. But you know, if you could have just found one, maybe from January onwards, he could have kept you up. You know, he could have kept the club up, but unfortunately, it wasn't to be. So,
it's interesting that you say you liked Olkowski, because I know that Will isn't a particular fan of Pavel, but I always thought he was very good, because as you say, there's more to being a right back. You know, you talk about yourself being possibly a right wing back and going forward and whatever, and I thought he did that job very, very well.
Yeah, I did well. But in the games that I seen him, he didn't really have a lot of defending to do. I mean, I watched him against Millwall at home, and I thought Millwall were poor.
Oh, they were. My word.
But he didn't have much defending to do, to be fair to him, and he just bombed on and got some really good crosses in. I think he scored that game, actually.
He did, yeah.
I thought he had a good game. But, you know, he just reminded me in some ways of myself, where going forward was all that I loved to do, really, and just whipping balls in for strikers to score.
Good stuff. Excellent. Just to finish off then, have you got a message for the fans at all or anything, seeing as they all still love you so much?
Yeah, obviously, yeah, I've got a lot of love back for the fans, and you know, I do get to Bolton when I can, and just what I'd say to them is stick with the club as long as you can, because I'm sure that this is not the end of the club. I'm sure they're going to get out of administration, and I really do hope they carry on following them. I know it's, you know, sometimes it's heartbreaking and stuff to see what's happening, but all I can say is just keep following them and keep the faith, really. That's all.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Nicky, for joining us tonight. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, mate.
Not a problem, guys. Anytime.
I'm sure everyone will really appreciate listening to this and what
it.
Have you.
Thanks very much indeed. I've loved it.
Where can anyone find you these days? In any establishment in Bolton at all, or just
no,
keeping yourself to yourself? Just come and watch the crew. Yeah,
Sainsbury's near the centre of town. I'm sometimes in. So you know, if you do want to call me in Sainsbury's and have a chat, then no problem.
Yeah, don't say that. You'll get the autograph hunters outside.
Oh yeah, outside.
It'd be a huge queue. Tom, where can everyone find you as usual doing the socials plug?
Oh, you know my Twitter better than I know my own, Will. I think it's is it TReco44 on Twitter
something
now?
Something like that. Yeah, you can find me at WI1LJ, and you find all our ramblings on the Line of Vienna Street Twitter. And leave us a review on iTunes if you will, please. 5 stars and nothing less. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. Thank you again to Nicky for joining us.
No,
this has been episode 115 of the Line of Vienna Suite podcast. So it's time to say goodbye if there's nothing else left to say. So say goodbye, Tom.
Goodbye, Tom.
Goodbye, Nicky.
Goodbye, Nicky.
All right, so goodbye from me. Thank you very much for listening. C'est la vie.